I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol.
You are tuned to KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have on the phone with me Minnesota State Senator for Senate District 54, Carla Bigham. Senator Bigham, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me, Mike.
I understand that it's been kind of a busy week up at the Capitol because of bills beginning to move and committees getting all their work done and things moving to the floor. So let's start with some of the things that you've been working on. I understand that you have some news to report on the frontline workers legislation that you're working on.
Yeah, so last year as part of the budget agreement, we had earmarked $250 million for frontline hero pay. These are the first responders and such that really couldn't stay home and were exposed to COVID during the whole pandemic. And we also lumped with that the replenishing of the UI fund, which was drained as a result of people having to be furloughed and having to not work for fear of spreading the highly infectious virus. So today the Senate passed the conference committee report. So it's going to the House and then on to the governor today, which I'm assuming he's going to sign it today, that calls for full replenishment of the UI fund. So that's a big deal for our small businesses. It's really been a financial burden for them because they have to make up when we fall below a certain amount, and that's not their fault. And so we definitely had an obligation, and the Senate already had passed that with my support early this year, so I'm glad that's in it. And then frontline workers' hero pay will be around $750 for our frontline workers, and you know, those are your firefighters, your police officers, social workers that were going in for child protection, daycare providers, like a lot of these folks that had to deal with, you know, being exposed and providing services. So, you know, it doubled what we had promised. And I don't know that we can ever thank them enough for getting us through a pandemic. And, you know, we're going to, I think, be learning how to live with this. But we certainly want to thank them for their tireless, heroic efforts in keeping us safe. And so I'm very happy that that has passed. That's a big lift and a big item off of the to-do list for the legislature.
And that was not an easy passage for either of those. I know over in the House, they were kind of, I don't want to say they didn't want to pass the unemployment insurance trust fund things, but they wanted to tie it to other things. So it's good to see that that finally has been completed. Now, I talk with also Representative Juergens every so often, and he was mentioning that it's still going to be an issue for business owners, but because they hadn't met that deadline where the interest started accruing.
No. All of that was taken care of.
Oh.
So that is, yeah. So no, there'll be no penalties or anything like that. They're gonna. All of that was taken care of within the language of the bill. So, you know, it's in the deadline is tomorrow, and so we should be able to get this done. I think that was if we weren't able to pass the bill. Now, if the House Republicans filibuster, then Representative Juergens might be right, so, but we shouldn't have any penalties or any added issues on that regard. That was obviously a top concern.
That is very good to hear. I'm glad that that got worked out. Another thing, kind of taking a little bit of a segue from there too, in a like a newsletter you put out recently, you talked about increasing penalties for fentanyl issues, and I wanted to go over that a little bit. You're kind of bringing those penalties in line, and you said in your release that it bring it in line with some of the penalties for heroin use, and I just would like to get an update on that, please.
Yep, so we passed our Judiciary Public Safety Bill this week, and I'm on that committee as well as I'm the actual lead of the Civil Law Committee, and so a lot of work throughout the course of the session went into this bill. It's a little light, Mike, on the prevention of crime.
Right.
Like, you know, you got to get ahead of crime, right? You got to have youth intervention programs. You got to have gang violence prevention money. You got to have gun violence prevention money. You got to have youth and juvenile justice programming, you know, and different things like that to really kind of get ahead of crime. It's a little light on that, but it's a good bill. It has five of my provisions in it. I'll just go over a few of them. One, on the floor, because I had offered this in the committee and they rejected it, the Republicans rejected it, which was increasing the penalties for dealing fentanyl. What my bill does, and it's supported by the Minnesota County Attorneys Association, is getting those penalties in line with that of heroin. It's a tool that law enforcement needs to hold these drug dealers accountable. So I was very proud about that. The other amendment I was able to work with Senator Duckworth from Lakeville on is recognizing PTSD as a killed in line of duty illness for law enforcement, correctional officers, firefighters, and such. You know, we have to recognize the trauma and mental anguish that goes along with being a police officer and firefighter and such.
Right.
They see things that can't be unseen. You know, I'm the daughter and sister of firefighters, so I know firsthand the experiences that they go through and some of the trauma that they go through. And when somebody dies by suicide after being diagnosed with PTSD, it's going to be recognized as a killed in the line of duty. And that allows certain benefits for the surviving spouse and their children. But more importantly, it allows for the departments to honor those heroes that protect and serve our communities.
And there have been a significant number of officers, firefighters, and other frontline workers that have succumbed to that malady. It has happened. It's not as rare as you think.
You know, we have to talk about it, as do the workers and the struggles of it, because that's how, you know, we can together get people help that they need. And we need to, as a legislature, be dedicating resources towards mental health for our frontline and emergency responders. And that there is a portion of that in this bill. The other part of the, there are two other parts of the bill that were mine that I'm very excited about. One is we're finally dedicating a lot of money towards community corrections. So think probation, Mike.
Okay.
And this is really going to help counties specifically, but you know, they're the ones, like Dakota County. They are a Community Corrections Act discipline for developing and distributing probation, and so they get money from the state. Well, that funding and that money hasn't kept up with the need and with the services that need to be provided to people on probation. So after decades of underfunding, this is really going to be a huge help, and it's ongoing. And this will directly reduce crime right away. You know, that's one of the things going into session. It's like, you know, You can increase sentences all you want. You can.
Yeah.
I mean, and in this bill, it does. We do have mandatory minimums for carjacking and different things like that. I'm not saying that you can't do that or shouldn't do that. What I'm saying is that's not going to immediately stop and deter crime. That's going to take a while for that to take effect. They got to go through trial. They got to go, you know what I mean? They got to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came into session, I was thinking, how do we impact crime right now? Well, one of the things is getting ahead of it, right? Again, I've already talked about that. Getting on the prevention side of it and investing in community programming, youth programming, juvenile justice programming. But the other thing is making sure you're adequately funding probation so people don't reoffend. And so that's a big deal. That will have a direct impact right away on our community. So I was excited that that was included. It's a big chunk of change for a member of the minority to get into a bill. I will say that.
Okay.
And then the final one is unified billing for rape kits. I worked with the Sheriff's Association, Sheriff Leslie, Washington County Sheriff Dan Starry, and they were having issues with hospitals sending them really random amounts for rape kits. And there was no unified rape billing for rape kits. And also, unfortunately, in a grotesque practice, sometimes victims of rape were being billed for their own rape kit.
Wow.
And being re-traumatized. And so we're taking that, and we're going to have the state pay for that. We're going to have the state administer that. So it takes the sheriff out of that.
Right,
and
sure.
So they can focus on what they need to do, not an accounting department, and solve crimes and bring justice for victims. So those are some of the items that were in that bill, which were just very proud of that. I am hoping and praying that I will be on the conference committee that will bring the final product to the governor's desk.
And when would you know if you're on that committee or not?
Oh, next week, and we know you will be the first to know. KBWA will be the first to know if I get that.
Sure,
if I get appointed to that, because that's a big deal, and it's a big topic. And so I'm hoping that as kind of my swan song, I can get to be on that conference committee.
That would be a fitting way to tie up your Senate and your state legislature career. That's for sure. One of the other things that you were championing or working on was some legislation having to do with agriculture. Could you go over a little bit of what's going on there, please?
So we passed an agriculture bill that also had housing tied to it. So again, you know, and for efficiency, and I don't like this, but they merge, you know, topics of bills. They're called omnibus bills, and they, you know, they're multi-subject, and they put a lot of things in them. This one, unfortunately, had some horrendous housing policy, everything from overturning elections in St. Paul and Minneapolis on the rent control measures, which, look, I'm not a big fan of rent control, but you can't overturn the people's voice of an election.
Right.
And that's pretty damn extreme. And then the other thing is they quashed local control in it by the state telling the city they can't do certain things when they are developing their own land. And so, like, can't use certain products, can't use, you know, energy-efficient stuff. It was ridiculous. So I didn't vote for this bill, but the one thing I tried to get on, and it was one of the rare times that this is so public, I'll put it that way. I offered an amendment on chronic wasting disease that impacts cervet, so deer, mm-hmm. elk. It's terrible. It's terrible for these animals. It could devastate our hunting culture here in Minnesota. It's a $1 billion industry, over 500,000 deer hunters. The Minnesota Deer Hunters Association supported my amendment to put a moratorium on new deer farms. Unless it was a family, so, you know, that was in the bill. And then the other part was you can't transfer deer that have been tested positive in a farm to another farm or into the wild. I mean, hello.
Right. Common sense. That's common sense, yeah.
So it goes on, And then immediately they call for a recess as we are debating the bill. And then in the Republican caucus, there was some arm twisting, busting of kneecaps, some weak knees, some nausea from being flipped in an hour-long caucus. And they came back and offered an amendment that basically watered down the whole thing.
Wow.
And so, yeah, pretty rare to see it so public. So it was very unfortunate. I did not support that bill. It did have some good things in it. But at the end of the day, I can't stomp all over local control. And I mean, it's just not the right way to do things. And there were some other problematic issues in that bill. But we'll see what comes back from conference, Mike.
All right. That sounds like a thing to keep an eye on anyway. And we have just a couple of minutes left. Pardon me again. So as we look forward to the month of May or even for the next week or two, what can constituents anticipate with the conference committee moving on, the floor sessions moving on? What do they need to watch out for?
Well, there's going to be a lot of action. I mean, it's going to be a lot of start and stop. We'll probably, after next week, all of the finance bills will be in there. So I'm hoping the House is also going to be passing the sports wagering bill to the Senate. So that will start moving here with 3 weeks to go. We'll see if we can't get some traction there. We're going to start doing what they call calendar bills, which are standalone bills. Usually they're district specific, or just real technical bills. So that's kind of what we're going to be doing here for the rest of the month and until we, have global agreements and get these conference committee reports out.
All right. And then things move on to the governor's desk for either signature or veto. And when does the session end again?
Third Monday in May, so right before Memorial Week. I think it's the 23rd.
All right. So if listeners out there have questions or concerns, they need to get in touch with their senator, Carla Bigham, or their representative, wherever they are. But for the for this segment, I would like to once again give you the opportunity to provide your contact information for your constituents.
Sure. The best way to get a hold of me is 651-297-8060. And you can always email me at sen, which is the abbreviation for senator, .carla, and that's with a K, .bigham, at senate.mn.
That's excellent. I would like to thank my guest for this segment of Community In-Depth, Minnesota State Senator for District 54, Carla Bigham. Senator Bigham, once again, thank you for your time and your input.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
You're welcome. You are tuned to Community In-Depth on KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No.
But how I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
He signed your bill. Now you're a law.
Oh, yes.